This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 23. The book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 23. Genesis 19, verse 23 reads this way. It says, "Then the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, and we do thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace and your love toward us. And Lord, your desire to want to speak to us. And so, Lord, we pray for the guidance of your Holy Spirit to fill us and lead us, Lord, to hear from you, and that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that you would build your church to be the witness you've called us to be. And so, Lord, do your work in our hearts and minds this morning. May we worship you and be blessed. And Lord, may you be honored and glorified and highly exalted. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is God Remembered Abraham. That's a good thing. God remembered Abraham. Listen, does God remember his people?
Yes.
Amen. Does he love his people?
Yes.
Does he always hold them in his hands?
Yes.
Now here's the hard one. Does he work out all things together for good to his people?
Yes.
He didn't say all things were good. He said he works out all things together for good. Amen. There are some things that are difficult, that are not good in the sense of maybe pain and affliction and difficulties and trials and temptations, but he does work them out for our good, and we thank the Lord for his great faithfulness. We're gonna back up here to chapter 18, and this morning we're gonna see in our text an example of God's great grace and mercy toward his people that pursue him. That's the important part. This is God's great example of his great mercy and grace toward his people that pursue him. Abraham was in the business of pursuing the Lord. The Bible says that Lot was a just man, but I believe he lost his whole family, don't you? I mean, maybe not in the fire, but he certainly, they didn't have a good testimony. His two daughters didn't have a good testimony. His wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt, and he did not have the kind of testimony that you really want to have before the Lord. But God did remember Abraham, amen? And God will always remember us as well, as long as we are pursuing him. He's in a business. If we seek the Lord, he has promised that we would find him. Did he not? All right. So as we consider this, I want you to think about this. We're going to be in chapter 18 of the book of Genesis. But for right now, I want to read to you 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward the Lord," toward him. So God is looking this morning, is he not? His eyes are going to and fro, looking into those that diligently are seeking the Lord and that want his blessings in their lives. And so the Lord does not forget those that seek him. He's honored by that, and he wants to bless those that are seeking him. Now, with that said, I'm going to hold right here just for a moment, because I do want you to see that in this world, we deal with two kinds of people, those that know the Lord and those who have rejected the Lord. But I want you to hear something very clearly here in the book of Romans chapter 1, and this is really the plan of salvation. Paul was saying, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." This is Romans 1:16. You don't have to go there, but just listen very carefully. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek."
Amen.
That means all of mankind. Aren't you glad about that?
Yes.
that God came to give us eternal life. Notice what it says here, verse 17, for therein, in the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, trusting in God's righteousness. That's what gives us eternal life. And that is the difference between the true faith and every other religion. We have either placed our complete faith and trust in the righteousness of God, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came and shed his blood, died and rose again to give anyone who receives him as Savior salvation. And that's what God wants everybody. He's not willing that any should perish. God takes no pleasure in the death of people who die lost. He doesn't take any pleasure when the wicked die. Then he says this, verse 18, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And then he says this, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. These people that hold the righteousness, the righteousness of God in unrighteousness, the truth of God in unrighteousness, God says there's no forgiveness for them. They knew better. They know better. God has instilled in the heart of every human being that void that only God can fill with the relationship with him. And so they're without excuse, the Bible says. Notice, for the invisible, verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I didn't say that, God did. So if they say, I can't see it, they're not telling the truth, because God says they are clearly seen. Amen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's what the Bible says. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, listen, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There are a lot of knowledgeable, wise fools in our society that have lived before. I mean, we're talking about high intelligence, and yet they rejected the Lord. The Bible says they're foolish. And they know that the moment they leave this life, what a foolish mistake they have made. Because they dishonored God and they rejected God, when the Bible says they knew him and they were without excuse. Somewhere along the line, listen, you can talk to a little person and you can ask them about God and creation, and they'll be easily pointed toward the truth. But if you have adults that reject the Lord and they're constantly telling their little ones that there is no God, they'll believe that as well. But if a parent will tell them the love of God at a young age, they'll move from being safe in the Lord to saved in the Lord as soon as they come to that place of understanding their sin before God. Amen. And that's the objective, is it not? That they might move right into salvation. So that is the gospel plan that God has given to humanity, and God did all the work. Amen? Amen. We have a gospel, we have a salvation that God worked for us and paid for and has given it to us as a gift to be received. Any other faith has something for humankind to do and for humanity to do, and there's no way that you can do it, and there's no way that it's going to wash before the Lord. Only what Christ did alone. So with that said, let me invite you back to our text here in Genesis chapter 18. And this is important because Lot understood the truth and Abraham also understood the truth. But one of them, Abraham, walked with the Lord, and the Bible says God remembered Abraham. And I want to consider three thoughts as we consider our text this morning. I want you to notice the Lord's revelation to the faithful. If human beings will be faithful to seek the Lord, God's made a promise to them, hadn't he? If people are really wanting to go by the word of God, God says, I'll bless those that seek me. Amen. Secondly, we'll notice the concern, compassion, and the confidence of the faithful. I want that. How about you? God has promised that. God says, you know what? If we are faithful to the Lord, he will give us compassion and concern for those who don't have the truth. You know why? Because you and I once stood in their shoes. Aren't you glad that God opened up your heart and mind to understand your need to know the truth and to receive the truth? Listen, but for the grace of God, we would be standing in their same situation. But God says, no, listen, he opened up our hearts and minds. I don't understand how it all works, but we received the Lord as our Savior. And now God has given you and I a concern, a compassion, and a confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're concerned for the lost, are we not? And that's why we make plans. Listen, when we see people, we see souls that are destined for eternity. And so it doesn't matter if they're a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief. They all need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Or what will their life have meant for the few 80 or 100 years? Whatever length of time, is it not just a vapor and it's gone like the Bible says? Isn't that amazing? The Bible says that life is very brief. And you know what you'll get from the whole world? Life is short. Life, why would we waste our lives on things that are passing away that have no eternal bearing? God wants us to invest in Him, and He says, I will add everything else that you need in your life. And he's true to His word, is He not?
Yes.
Amen. Thirdly, the love and compassion and the Lord's love and compassion in exercising the faith of the faithful. Listen, the Lord's love and compassion in exercising the faith of the faithful. If you seek the Lord, God is going to build our faith. Amen? That's His plan. Because the more faith we have in the Lord, the more assurance and the more wonder-working power we'll see in our lives. So, listen, Peter and the other apostles, they had a certain amount of faith in the Lord. They experienced God. And then when the Lord rose again, they received more faith in the Lord. And then when the Lord told them to wait until you receive power from on high, you know, listen, there were souls that needed to be saved, and God didn't say, get out there and go win a whole bunch of people because time is short. No, He said, wait on me till I give you power. How about the Apostle Paul? Remember, he was in the desert with the Lord. For some a little over three years, he was in the desert, and of all people, Paul was ready. He was ready to preach. He had met the Lord, but God said, no, sit and wait until I work with you, and then I'll send you out. Amen. See, the most important thing is that we don't run around like chickens with our heads cut off, but that we meet with God and allow Him to send us forth and allow Him to give us a heart and a compassion for the souls of mankind. See, God doesn't want us just to get caught up in a ritualistic practice of doing things over and over again because it's the way we've always do it. I mean, we're supposed to be at church, and then we're supposed to read our Bibles, and that's the only effect that we have. God wants us to love Him personally. And in doing that, we will love the same thing that He loves, beginning with His righteousness and the things that honor and glorify Him and lost souls to be saved. So as we get started here, let me invite you back over here to the book of Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. And I want you to see the Lord's revelation to the faithful. Notice verse 16, it says, and the men rose, these are the three that came, and one of them was the Lord, two angels and the Lord. And it says here, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Isn't that good? Abraham was enjoying the company of the Lord and these two angels. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Isn't that good? Listen, the Lord wanted Abraham to know what he was doing. Do you think God wants His children to know what He's doing? Do you think God wants us on the interworkings of what God is doing and the interworkings of what God wants to do personally in our own lives that we might have the influence and the effect on those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely He does. He wants us to have the same passion that He has. So we see the Lord's question. He says, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? I want you to notice what the Lord saw in Abraham because of Himself. And I want you to know that God sees the same potential in your life and mine in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this, verse 18. Seeing that Abraham, remember he says, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? And notice what the Lord sees. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become great and a mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Do you think God wants us, by the grace of God, to touch the lives of those who need to know him as Savior? Notice he says, for I know him. This is what God knows. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him to seek the Lord. And they shall keep the way of the Lord, listen, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he spoken, that which he had spoken of him. Who's going to bring that unto Abraham? The Bible says the Lord. The Lord is going to bring that. Who builds the house? The Lord. And if he doesn't do it, we labor in vain. So what should we be seeking? Amen. The Lord. Because without him, we can do what? But let's not just know the words. Let's just believe it. Lord, without you, I can't do anything. And so if nothing is happening, what's the problem? We're the problem. We're not connected with the Lord. It's so we can know all this and do nothing about it, or we can know these things and say, God, there's a problem because this is not your will. Did God save us to be fruitless? Did God save us to not abide in him? Did God save us not to be able to witness for him? He saved us to be the witness by his power and grace that souls would come to him. Has he changed his mind? And he'll never change it. Amen. And so the focal point ought to be our heart and our walk and our desire for the Lord. And so God had seen this heart of Abraham. And so therefore he's revealing these things to him. And then let me ask you a question. As we look at our text here, did Abraham, once the Lord told him what he's getting ready to do, does Abraham just say, oh, thanks for the info, I'll see you next Sunday? Oh, thank you. Gee, what time is it? I got things I've got to do. Because if we're not careful, we get caught up, you know. And listen, do you know what everybody does? What they want to do. Do we not? We do what we really want to do. And as much as we say, here's what we say, I don't have time. You don't understand. I don't have time. Let something like your hot water heater break and you're going to find some time. Or you're going to take some cold showers. Let something like your car break down and we'll find the time to get it fixed. One way or another, we'll find time to do what we want to do. And I would dare say that God is worthy for us to find time for more than anything else. Now, God just says, listen, I want to bless you. I want to use you for my honor and glory. I want you to hear from my lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what God wants to hear from everyone. He wants all of his children to hear. So as we look at this, we find that God is revealing to Abraham, because of his faithfulness, what he's getting ready to do. And then notice what he says here in verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry... So he's speaking to Abraham. And in fact, look at verse 19 again. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. That's what God wants to bring in our lives as well. And the Lord said, he's speaking to them, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Right. Now listen to this. The sinners were not crying out to God because of their sin. But God said he heard a cry because of the lack of righteousness. Do you remember what he told Cain? The blood of your brother Abel cries out. Listen, the righteousness of God, when it is defiled, the earth cries out. And so, he says, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 20 is great, and because of their sin is very grievous, listen, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me, and if not, I will know. He's going to give them their day in court. But guess what? Abraham knew already. They're guilty. He already knew that. Listen, you remember, when he delivered them, he wouldn't even take a shoe latchet from them. He didn't want anything to do with them. The only reason why he went out after them was because of his nephew Lot. That was it. He cared about Lot. We ought to care about our loved ones as well. And so he says, I will go down and see whether this thing be the case. And notice what happens here. Verse 22, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, these two. Notice, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Isn't that good? Abraham just got some news that concerned him. And God was going to prove his faith. Let's just see where your heart's at, Abraham. And by the way, God already knew, didn't he? So fathom that. God tries us even though he already knows us. And he already knew where Lot was at. But he was also working with Abraham. So notice as we move over here from the Lord's revelation to the faithful, the concern, compassion, and the confidence of the faithful. Here's Abraham. He has this working relationship with the Lord that he knows that when things like this are happening in the lives of people that he knows that he has an audience with God. He knows that he can approach the Lord and things could change. Otherwise, he would have said, you know what, I got some camels to take care of. I've got some things. You know, Lot just has gone his old way anyway. I've got my life to live. He didn't say that. And by the way, Abraham had servants and livestock and all different kinds of things to take care of, but he had time for God. And so he stands yet. But Abraham, bottom of verse 22, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. You know what that means? He stood yet. He could have left, but he didn't. And you know what? Listen, God needs his people today to stand still before the Lord. And notice the next thing that Abraham does. He heard this information. The two angels left, and he's standing there yet before the Lord. The Lord didn't leave. Why should Abraham? Isn't that amazing? The Lord didn't leave. Why? Because God was waiting for Abraham to, by faith, engage him. Do you know God is waiting for his people to engage him by faith? Do you know that God wants you and I to have a place of prayer that we can meet with the Lord? How often? Every day. Every day. That we have set aside a place and a time to meet with the Lord. Every day. And can you pray in other places? Can you pray on the road? And as you're, absolutely. But when we make time, just like we made time today to be in God's house. I've heard some people say, well, you know, I can worship God out in the woods or out on a fishing boat. And in fact, one evangelist got so creative, he named his boat Visitation. So anytime somebody would call him and say, where's the evangelist? Oh, he's out on Visitation. No, he isn't. He's out on his boat named Visitation. Because we make time for what we really want to do. And God knows that. And if we really want to get to know the Lord, God knows whether or not we have made or are wanting to make time for him. Now, I will tell you this. There's something that I have learned in life. New habits don't come easy. Old habits come automatic, right? And unfortunately, a lot of the old habits aren't the best habits. But the new habits, if we'll persevere and ask God to enable us, he can make them good. Amen. God can change us. Amen. Lord, I need you to create in me a heart and to see the importance of making time to meet with you. And you decide that between you and the Lord. But Lord, you are worthy for me to put you on my appointment for every day. Every day. And so, there he is, and the Lord's there. Verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, notice this, he's concerned. Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Who's he thinking about? Lot. He's thinking about Lot. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Now let me ask you this question. Did God know before Abraham asked this question that Abraham was going to ask this question to him? Did God want Abraham to ask him this question? God wants to engage us. God wants us to engage him. God wants us concerned about the same thing he's concerned about. Notice, he's asking him this question, and he's kind of answering his own question here in verse 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And of course, we know the answer. He knew the answer. Was it wrong for Abraham to ask that question? No. That was fine. God's going to engage him. Verse 26, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. He just got his answer. The God of all righteousness will do righteousness. He got his answer. And that was the mind of Abraham. Listen, God was even more righteous than Abraham first thought. Because no doubt, as Abraham was thinking about that, now let's see, Lot's got some children, and he's probably witnessed to people, but yet, you know what, he was more concerned about the well-watered plains than his relationship with the Lord. Maybe he didn't quite tell 50 people. Maybe there aren't, and you know what, when I went out there, I don't remember seeing 50 people that knew the Lord. Verse 27, and Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Wow. That's called a humble heart. That is him saying, I have no right to ask you. I am just dust and ashes. Do you see how he saw himself? I am just dust and ashes. Do you think he honored God in saying that? Do you think he was worshiping the Lord? Do you think that pleased the Lord? Wow. Lord, I'm just but dust and ashes. Everything we have, tell me this isn't the case. Be it our intellect, be it our health, our ability, our knowledge, didn't it all come from where? It came from the Lord, all of it. There are no self-made men. There aren't any. I watched this video of a little year and a half year old baby sitting on the lap of a parent, I imagine, because I didn't really see the parent, a year and a half, playing the piano. Now, the baby wasn't playing a song, but it sounded good. And the little hand was spreading apart to make chords, and the other hand was working, and then every once in a while, and it go around, and it knew where things were at. At a year and 5 months or a year and a half old. That baby, where did that baby get that from? Oh, it learned it itself. No. There are some people we say that are just naturally gifted. No, they're blessed by God. But so are we all. We are all blessed by God to serve him and to be a glory to his name by his mercy and grace and power in us. And so he says, I'm just dust and ashes, verse 27. And then he says this, verse 28, peradventure, perhaps, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And so he's not saying, will the Lord of all righteousness. Now, he's not saying that anymore. He's already completed that assignment. Won't the God of all righteousness, won't the Lord of all righteousness do? And obviously, the Lord said, yeah, I'll do that. But now, he's concerned about Lot. And notice what he says here. He says, if I find there 40 and 5, verse 28 on the bottom, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again. Now, you remember what he just thought himself as? Dust and ashes. Do you think he had reverential fear? Not of God doing anything unkind to him, because God had already given him a promise, didn't he? And he knew that God was going to fulfill that promise. But Abraham is more concerned about himself. He's concerned about his nephew Lot. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 40's sake, in the bottom of verse 29. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry. Is that reverential fear? Oh, let not the Lord be angry, not with me asking him to do something, but with my life and what I'm doing with it. Oh, let not the Lord be angry if I'm neglecting him. And Lord, renew within me a right heart to not neglect you, who is worthy above all and everything else on this world to be praised and worshiped and sought after. You and I will one day stand before God Almighty. And then what? And then what? And on top of it, listen, please, don't misunderstand me. God is not saying shame on us. God does not browbeat anybody. God is saying to his children, don't miss out. Come and experience God's purpose for creating us, to glorify his name. But you remember what the Lord said we must do if we're going to follow him?
Deny ourselves.
Oh boy, that's a big order, isn't it? Can you deny yourself? I can't. I need God's help for that. In fact, if we could deny ourselves, all of us would have an unbelievable prayer life every day. Maybe like Daniel, 3 times a day for more than just 5 or 10 minutes. Now, I'm not trying to put any kind of gauge on it. I'm just saying if we would deny ourselves, God would be pretty important. And I would dare say Daniel, as a president of the 3 presidents and all the governors, had a busy job. But Daniel said, you know, more important than anything on this planet is my God. Abraham was a pretty lucrative businessman as well. And you know what he said? God, you've got my undivided attention. Do you think David was, Abraham, do you think Abraham was looking at the sundial? Thinking, man, Lord, I got to go. Or did everything stop for Abraham while he was in front of his God? And he said here, in verse 30, and he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken up upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 20's sake. Now, I don't know what was going through Abraham's mind, but I think he was saying, God is good. I'm still here. And he has been, you think Abraham thought, God is unbelievably patient and long-suffering and kind. God is merciful, putting up with me, and he's granting me everything I'm asking him for. And I'm sure Abraham is thinking, man, you know, I'm concerned I'm going to put him out. Verse 32, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. He's coming to an end now, isn't he? I'm going to wind it up, Lord. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. I am convinced, and it's conjecture on my part. We can get there, I can be completely wrong, and I'll be good with that. I'm thinking that Abraham thought, surely Lot influenced 10 people for Christ. Surely he shared the gospel message and 10 souls got saved. What? You know what, Abraham? Surely Lot has brought 50 souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. What will our testimony be? How many will we have brought to the Lord? It doesn't have to be zero. But there's only one way that changes. And it's not just, listen, it's by calling upon the Lord to change it. It's not just us telling people, it's God speaking to people through us. Do you see how much we need the Lord? Lord, forgive me for thinking that I can do it without you. Forgive me, Lord. And we don't want these professions of faith that come and go, do we? Did yours come and go? Because God's real to you, and God's real to me. And he changes our lives. Has God changed? We've changed. We're okay with just, if we're not careful, we're okay with just bringing in a crowd and bussing them in and bussing them out, and no lives are changed. They'll come and go. We can entertain them and they'll come. People are looking for stuff to do. Is that what God said do? No, God said for his people to call on him. Here's the question. Do we want to see the glory of God? Or do we just want to come up with our own way? We've got to seek the Lord. Or we can point fingers all day long at why things aren't going the way we think they should go. But the real problem looks at us in the mirror every day. Now, if you don't want to face that, then you just point the finger somewhere else. And I wonder if we'll find out that we at least led 50 souls. Surely, 50. 40? 5? 40? 30? 20? 10? Where people were genuinely saved, born again, and God transformed their lives. And they stayed with the Lord. And they were pointing others to the Lord. So he said, again, he asked, verse 32. And he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. That's good. He said, the Lord said, "I will have compassion." And our text this morning in chapter 19, and as we consider here verse 29, we know the story. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. But notice what the Bible says here in verse 29. "And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God," what? "Remembered Abraham and sent Lot out in the midst of the overthrow." Listen, that's what Abraham was concerned about, because God says he remembered Abraham. He was worried about Lot. Who are we worried about? We ought to be communicating with the Lord. "Lord, I'm worried about this person. They're more important to me to not remember them in prayer and to call upon you every day that I might commune with you." And by the way, listen. Do you know if we'll be faithful to the Lord here, God will be faithful to those loved ones that we have that live in other places? Because there are people in other places that have loved ones that are in our lives that God would like for us to tell. Isn't that funny? "Oh, Lord, please, don't tell me if you've ever said, send somebody to witness to my loved one." How about us be sent for somebody else's loved one here where we live? God says, "I want to do a work in my people. there's only one person he's waiting on to give their permission that God might work in our lives. Because he will not infiltrate our lives. But we can call on him. We can invite the Lord to come in. And we can call upon the Lord to have his will and way in our lives. If we believe the Lord. And if we want to ask him, remember me, God. I want to walk faithfully to you. I want to be found faithful. Do you believe you're going to stand before the Lord one day? What are we going to say? Do we care about what he... Remember the woman at the well. No blood relationships. A Samaritan. I've got meat. He told his disciples, I've got meat to eat of that you don't know about. And that is to do the will of my Father that sent me. And that woman got saved. And that woman went back to town and told some other folks. And the Bible says many believed on him through her word. And then for them coming out and seeing himself for themselves. Can God do the same thing in our day and age? Does God remember us? The real question is, do we remember the Lord? Do we want to remember God? His plan and his will. God says, call on me. Call unto me. And I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Is that true?
Amen.
Would you stand? It's God's invitation for all of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we do thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love toward us. Lord, may you instill in our hearts and minds to call upon you and ask you to do your work in our lives, that we might see your wonder-working power that you have planned from eternity past, Lord, for your church to be empowered to be the witnesses in a dark and dying world that needs the light of God, that we might see souls saved, Lord, and that we would not regret standing before you and finding out that we've buried what you've given to us. Lord, may you shine your light in your life in and through us. May you change our hearts and minds. Restore unto us, Lord, the joy, your joy, of the salvation that you've given to us. Bless, Lord, and speak to our hearts as only you can. May you be honored and glorified, and our lives transformed to your likeness. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.